Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills that they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. In this lesson, we're going to spend a little more time investigating some of the additional features of Visual Studio. In order to be productive, you're going to need to know a bit about how to maneuver around within Visual Studio. So I'm simply going to highlight a few of the major features, but we're going to cover more throughout the remainder of this series. So in this lesson, I want to demonstrate, first of all, how to open up a project that we were working on, but we shut down, maybe we rerouted our computer or whatever the case might be. We'll also look at how to set breakpoints and step through our application's code line by line in order to debug the application, like we talked about in the previous lesson. I'm also going to explain how to benefit from IntelliSense, that little window that pops up whenever we were typing in our code a couple of lessons ago, and then how to customize the IDE's interface. I'm going to show you how to turn on line numbering. I already have that turned on, but I'll show you how I did that, and much, much more. So a lot to cover. Let's go ahead and get started. Actually, let's start this lesson by closing Visual Studio. And what I want to do is, if you haven't already done so, close it. I want to show you how to open up Visual Studio and get back to the projects that you were working on. And there's a couple of different ways to do this. You see, by default, the start page appears whenever you open up Visual Studio. And there are a couple of options here on the start page that you can use to get back to the projects that you were working on. For example, a list of the most recent projects here in the lower right left-hand corner, the open project link here on the page will open up the open project dialog, as will file open project. You notice there's also a keyboard shortcut, Control Shift O, in case you're one of those people who love keyboard shortcuts. And then finally, there's this recent projects and solutions. This is the one I'm going to choose. You can use any of these options to get back to your Hello World application. Okay, great. Okay, so you probably have noticed by now, since we created our application and ran it, that there are a number of different windows and panes that pop open at different moments in time in Visual Studio. And some of them are hidden by default. For example, if you hover your mouse cursor, you actually go over here and you click on this little toolbox that's spelled, vertically, okay? The toolbox window will appear. And if I were to then move my cursor away and click away from it, it disappears. And so it has this feature turned on called auto hide. And I can turn off auto hide by clicking the little pin icon. It's next to the X in the upper right hand corner of that little window. And when I click it, and now it looks like it's pinned down, auto hide is turned off. And as you can see, almost all these windows off to the right and left side, and also the ones that will appear from the bottom, also have this auto hide feature. So I can make it available or I can hide it. And so there are, as you can see, several major areas that you will see in Visual Studio when you're working with it, in screenshots and books and things of that nature. So for example, there's this main area that has a series of tabs. Now we only have one tab open right now, but there could be multiple tabs open here at the same time. And as we add more files to our projects, you'll see how that works. But this is the main area that houses the code editor. It houses a design surface for designing graphical user interfaces. It has different types of panes for designing database tables and things of that nature that we won't get into in this series, but that all kind of happens in that main central area of Visual Studio. And then we've already seen and talked about the use of the Solution Explorer here in the upper right-hand corner. This lower left-hand corner is the properties window where we can set the properties of various visual objects in selected in the main area. Talk about that in just a moment. There's also this this toolbar area here and the menu at the top that we've used several times already. And then there's also this area at the very bottom, and we noticed how it gives us status updates about the current state of Visual Studio. It's currently ready for us to do something. We saw what happened whenever we built the release version of our application. It told us that the build succeeded. Okay, so information like that, it'll put in this little area at the very bottom. It'll tell us when we're in the code window, what line, column, character we're on, and so on, whether we're in insertion mode or whatever the case might be. All right. And then there's this toolbox off to the left-hand side. So the toolbox area and the properties window, you might wonder, well, what are these for? For console window applications, like we're going to be writing to learn the C# language itself, we're not going to have much of a use for the toolbox and the properties windows, quite frankly. They're more suited for creating and working with project types that create graphical user interfaces, like Windows applications or web-based applications. So the idea is that you drag something like a button or a text box from the toolbox and you drop it into a designer surface area that looks like the window that you're actually building, and then you can move it around, you can resize a button or a text box, or you can select it and then make changes about some of its properties here in the properties window in the lower right-hand corner. And so actually, at the very end of this series of lessons, we're going to do exactly that when we talk about programming events and things of that nature. We're going to create a graphical user interface, a web and a Windows-based application, just very briefly, but we'll use those two windows. They'll be key to our understanding of how to build them much later in the series. Okay. You'll remember that whenever we actually started our application in debug mode, and we encountered an error with our code, that a little error list popped up, and it gave us a list of the problems with our source code. So we're already kind of familiar with that window. There's also some other windows that we'll see that will appear from the bottom or the right side or the left side in different situations. For example, in just a moment, we're going to see some new windows whenever we get into debugging our applications. There's a locals and a watch window and a few others that become available to us in certain contexts. So what are these contexts I'm speaking of? Well, I'm talking about the different types of activities that we perform while we're building an application. So for example, there is the design time context. It's the context that we're in right now. It's where we're actually writing code and designing our application. Whenever we then selected the start button on the toolbar, we were in a new context called debug time, also known as debug mode. We're running the application within the IDE, potentially stopping and watching the execution of individual lines of code, observing the values of the variables and the objects and so forth, like I'm going to demonstrate here in just a moment. Then there's also a compile time context whenever we're compiling our applications. So there are certain actions that are being performed by the compiler. And admittedly, it's a very short period of time relative to the amount of time we spend in design and debug mode. But it's obviously a crucial context for our application where our C# code is turned into something else, into an executable version of our app. Okay? So Visual Studio will display different sets of windows depending on the given context that we're currently in. Windows that will support the activities of that current context. So what context pops to my mind first is the debugging context. We've been talking about it. Let's go ahead and take a look at what that means. It's actually one of the most important features of the IDE, the ability to help you find problems with the code you've written. And there are several different ways to accomplish this. However, to begin this debugging process, what you do is you set a breakpoint in your code, which is like a stop sign for your code. So as your application is executing, Visual Studio will be watching, and then it sees that you've hit a certain line of code that's executing, and it will stop the execution of the application on that line of code and allow you, the developer, to take over from there. So while execution is paused, you, the developer, can investigate aspects about how your application is performing. You can even take control of the execution from that point on by stepping through your code line by line, jumping from one line of code to a whole different line of code to kind of change the order of the lines of code that are to be executed, changing the values inside of variables. And I know you don't know what that means yet, but there's a lot of flexibility with regards to debugging your applications using Visual Studio. So let's see how to do that. Let's set a breakpoint on our console.WriteLine line of code that we wrote. So what I'm going to do is just put my mouse cursor over here in this column. Let's go ahead and get rid of the toolbox. I'm going to deselect the auto hide. Okay. So I'm going to put my mouse cursor In the gray column, kind of along this line of code, console.writeline, I'm just going to click. And you'll notice when I do that, it creates this red dot, and then it highlights the entire line of code in a red highlight. And if you've followed along this series, there's a chance that we were still in release configuration. What we want to do is change that to the debug configuration for this project. So make sure you change this back before you hit the start button on the toolbar, which we're going to do next. And I want you to understand the order of what's going on here. I hit the start button, and then you saw the console window pop open for a split second, and then immediately we were returned to Visual Studio. That red line of code is now highlighted in yellow. That indicates it's the very next line of code that will be executed in the execution path for our application. Also, you see a little yellow arrow off to the left-hand side imposed on top of that red dot. Great. You can also see that there are several windows that appear at the bottom, namely this locals window, and behind it the watch window. It's on kind of a separate tab here. And then over in the middle, there's the call stack tab, and then there's the intermediate window tab behind it. So they're kind of paired together. That doesn't infer a relationship, it's just how they happen to be laid out, okay? And so I just want to acknowledge at this point that these windows exist and that they appear during debug time. I'm not really ready to use them in any meaningful way just yet, though. So now if I want to step through each line of code line by line, all I need to do is either use a keyboard shortcut or one of the three icons that appear here on the toolbar. So if I hover my mouse cursor over, and don't click yet, just hover your mouse cursor, you can see a little helper window pop open. There's the step into, the step over, and the step out. Understand that for now we need to use this middle step over button or the F10 key on your keyboard. And watch what happens to that yellow line. It moves down one line of code, it reveals the breakpoint, and also if we were to switch over to our console window, the words hello world were printed to screen, and now we are on the next line of code that will be executed is this read line. So I'm going to click it one more time, and when I do that, notice that the console window pops back open. It's actually waiting here per the instruction of the read line method for the end user, me in this particular case, since I'm debugging the application, to hit the enter key on my keyboard, which will then allow us to continue walking through. You can see it's exited off of the read line and now moving on to some of these other lines of code, which are kind of completing the code blocks that have been defined. I'm just gonna click this start button, but wait, it's changed names. It's now the continue button. That's fine. It will continue execution throughout and end the program. Okay. So now that we're done with the breakpoint, there's a few different ways to remove it. We don't need it anymore. We don't want to stop on this line of code any longer. We want to remove the breakpoint so we can do one of three things. We can either click the red dot. Again, notice that it goes away. So I can turn it on and turn it off. Or I can use the F9 button on my keyboard when this line of code is selected. So when I have the caret on that line of code, I can hit F9 to make it disappear. It'll toggle the breakpoint for the current line of code. Or I can select the debug menu option, toggle breakpoint, and it will remove it as well, as long as we're on that line of code with the caret with our text cursor. Okay. All right. So several times in this series of videos, I'm going to comment out a line of code and replace it with a different line of code. Or I'm going to create a code comment to make a note to myself or somebody else who may work on the project in the future about what it was that I was intending to do or explain why I did what I actually wound up doing. So a comment is denoted by a double forward slash, so slash slash, and then I can type anything here. Like, for example, this is a comment, all right? And comments are not compiled into the application. So simply put, it's an instruction to ignore a line of code. And you know, we can simply type two forward slashes in front of an existing line of code in order to comment it out, which is a phrase I'll use often throughout the series. However, if we have multiple lines of code, we might want to use a more convenient technique. So I can use my mouse cursor to kind of just start the last line of code that I want to highlight, and then drag it to the lines of code that I want to comment out. And then I can use this little button on my toolbar, comment out the selected lines. And when I do that, notice that it's commented out both lines of code. And I can do the opposite as well. I can select both lines of code and then click the button that's right next to it, the uncomment the selected lines button, and it will uncomment out those lines of code, and they'll be compiled back into our application. And finally, there's a multi-line comment. What you do is you begin with a forward slash and you put an asterisk next to it, and then you move to the bottom or the last line that you want to comment out, and then do the opposite, an asterisk forward slash. And now, as you can see, it's kind of highlighted there. It will comment out multiple lines without having just a bunch of double forward slashes prefixed to everything, okay? And so this is actually my preferred technique whenever I comment out multiple lines of code, is to use that slash star star slash, okay? So as you were typing that first line of code, you may have noticed that window that appeared beneath the caret as you typed. Well, this window is called IntelliSense, and once you master it, it can perform several really helpful tasks. First of all, it lets you know your contextual options, and it will actually finish your typing for you or autocomplete what you're typing. So let's do this. In this case, I'm going to type in the word con, and notice that it pops up console, but it will probably put you close to any of those in this case, classes or any identifiers that really would make sense in this context. Okay, it just happened to pop up console this time, but it would probably get you close no matter what it is selected first, maybe some of these other options, right? But at this point now, what I can do is I can use the up and down arrows to move through the list of options, or I can continue typing to filter the list. Furthermore, what I can do next is I can hit the space bar. So let's go down to console and hit the space bar. And notice that it typed out the entire word. This actually works with any delimiter. So for example, console dot, and so I used the dot because I knew I wanted to go console dot right line. And when I did that, it finished typing the word console, and it popped me to what it thought I wanted next, which is the right line. Because I used it previously, chances are I might want to use it again, IntelliSense, okay? And so here again, I can use, if I've already started typing right or right line or whatever the case might be, all I need to do is type a few letters and then hit the next logical delimiter, operator, whatever the case might be. And so in this case, parentheses, and it will type the rest of that method name for me. Awesome. So frankly, I rarely type more than just a few letters of any given class or method name or variable name or whatever the case might be. And I rely on IntelliSense heavily. In many cases, I may not even really know what I need when I get started. I just type a few letters and then I use the up and down arrows to find what I'm looking for. And then I select whatever the next logical delimiter is, whether it's a space, period, parentheses, whatever the case might be. So the second cool thing that that IntelliSense does for you is that it gives you a brief window containing help for the current property method, class, or keyword in .NET. So in many cases, this will be just enough information to help you navigate through unfamiliar territory as you type your code. So here, let's back up a little bit here, and let's get to the point where we can let it do its magic again. I'm going to type in WR right line, and about a second goes by, and then see that little window that pops up? And it gives me a little explanation about what this method does. It writes the text representation of the specified array of objects, followed by the current line terminator to the standard output stream, blah, 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 blah. All right, you're saying, well, all it really did was just print to screen. I know, it's just being very specific. This is developer speak, okay? But essentially, it will prompt you, for example, what's the difference between write and write line? Well, I can compare the two. This one writes to the standard output stream. This one writes to the output stream with a current line terminator, which means it'll give us, you know, that one line and it'll move to the next line and print out the rest of whatever we have below that. Okay, so it helps me to narrow down what my options are and select the right the right thing, the right option based on what I'm trying to accomplish. Awesome. It helps me refamiliarize myself with the options of these two similar options and which one I should select. Great. And then third, it provides information about the input parameters for methods. So we haven't talked about methods or input parameters, but we did send hello world into our right line method. And notice when I hit the open parenthesis on my keyboard, it automatically typed the closing parenthesis for me. It put my cursor in between the two, and then it pops open another IntelliSense window, this time showing me what can I pass into this method. And there's a bunch of different things I could potentially pass into this method. In fact, there's 19 different kinds of things. What are these things? We'll talk about those later. Don't want to get into that right now. But, I just wanted to say that nobody memorizes all this stuff, all right? We look for visual cues, and Visual Studio gives us these cues that we can rely on. One of the secrets to programming is to rely on IntelliSense to learn in real time and to help prompt you along to make the next correct action. And then let it type things for you so that you don't mistype them and forget a capital letter here or you misspell something there, okay? By relying on IntelliSense, you get a lot of magic kind of baked in and you don't have to do all the heavy lifting yourself. Okay, so let's go ahead and remove this line. I don't want that here. So additionally, the code window features that same helper window with a brief help message as you hover your mouse cursor over just about any expression or keyword in the code window. So in this case, what I want to do is hover my mouse cursor over read line, and you can see that it gives me that little explanation that it reads the next line of characters from the standard input stream. So this helps whenever I'm looking at code that I might not be familiar with. Finally, with regards to the code editor, it's going to give you different types of clues as to what could be wrong with your code. You may have seen this already. You definitely saw it if you watched the very lesson number 3 in this series. So let's do this. What I'll do is just I will intentionally misspell the word line. And when I do that, it takes about a second, but I see the little red squiggly line underneath the right method, okay? And so this indicates that something might be missing. In this case, the I in right line, or perhaps I'm missing the end of line terminator, so I'm missing that semicolon there, okay? And so then also, I want you to notice that you can hover your mouse cursor over the red squiggly line and it will tell you what's wrong. In this case, a semicolon is expected. Gotcha. We can do that. Awesome. And so there are other colors of squiggly lines for different types of warnings or errors, ranging from things that are critical to simply things that you should be aware of or simple warnings that you could possibly ignore. All right. All right, let's move on. Visual Studio is highly customizable, and there are two different configurations that we're going to modify in this lesson, but feel free to customize the environment to your liking so that you can be more productive. Whenever you encounter some annoyance, chances are you can change the default behavior somehow. So what I want to do is make two modifications. First, what I want to do is show you how I turned on line numbering. Now, you never saw me actually do this in the lesson. If you recall, when I signed into Visual Studio, it actually pulled my preferred settings from Microsoft servers. So it saw that Bob Tabor's logging into a new edition of Visual Studio. He loves line numbers. Let's go ahead and turn those on for him. Very cool. So let me show you how to turn these on for yourself. First of all, what we want to do is go to Tools, Menu, and then select Options, usually near the bottom. And then what I want to do is scroll down in this left-hand side until I find the text editor. And then I'm going to drill down in the text editor and select C#. All right. And you can see in the C# text editor, I already have line number selected. But if I were to turn that off, you'll notice that that column goes away. When I go back, Tools, Options, text editor, C#, I can turn them back on like so. And so this is helpful because it allows me to say, hey, take a look at line number 13 there, and I can call your attention to it. Or I can make a note to myself of the particular line, or if there's an error and it tells me what line it's on, I can go and visually see which line of code that was affected by that. So let's do this now. I want to go back to Tools, Options, and this time what I want to do is change the colors in the code editor window. Now, some people prefer dark colors whenever they're working with Visual Studio all day, every day. They claim that it's easier on the eyes. Okay, so what we want to do is go to Environment, and then I'm going to drill down there and go to Fonts and Colors there. And what I want to do is just simply flip around these colors. So what was white, I'll make black, and what was black, I will make white, and I'll click OK. And you can see that I've dramatically changed the look of that window. All right, honestly, that's a little bit too much for me personally. I'm much more of I just like the default settings typically, so I'm gonna go back and change those back to automatic and automatic. However, there are a number of themes that you can use, you can download, that will change the entire IDE's color scheme and so on, and fonts that are used and so on, all right? All right, next up, I wanna talk about the code rollup feature, which allows us to show and hide passages, or rather blocks of code. And the reason for this is to reduce the clutter as we search through the code that we've written visually. So we can roll up all blocks of code that we want to temporarily hide by clicking the little, you can see this little minus sign in kind of next to our number column here. If I click that, notice that it is rolled up all those lines. So instead of going 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, it just goes from line 11 to line 18. So we've rolled up static void main, and over here on the right-hand side, there's a little box with an ellipsis. If I hover my mouse cursor over that, it will show me the code that's inside of that window, or at least a snapshot of that code, letting me know what was rolled up there. So it allows me to visually hide it, but I can get back to whatever information is inside of it. I can do multiple roll-ups. I'm not sure how helpful that is, but you can certainly roll up any block of code and then be able to hover over and see what's inside of that if you want to. All right, so the next thing that I want to talk about is visual feedback regarding the state of your code and whether it's been saved or not. So when you have code that's yet to be saved, you can see it in one of two ways. First of all, you'll notice in the tab next to the name program.cs, the file name, there's a little asterisk. So that suggests that this file needs to be saved. There's also a little yellow vertical stripe that appears next to the numbers, the line numbers for the code. And so this tells me that this code has not yet been saved. So what I can do is click the Save All button. And when I do that, notice that those lines that were formerly yellow, they are now green, indicating that they've recently been changed and recently been saved. Now, let's do this. I want to close this tab by clicking the little X in the right-hand corner of the tab, and then I'm going to open it again by going to the Solution Explorer and double-clicking program.cs. Notice when I do that, it gives me a little preview window over here because the tab is in the right-hand side. If I want to work with this window, I can double-click the program.cs, and then it will be opened on the left-hand side. So when it's on the right, we'll just do this. It's just a preview. If I make any edits to this whatsoever, like when I hit the spacebar on my keyboard, or if I double click program.cs in the Solution Explorer, then it will open it up in edit mode, essentially, all right? And now, notice here, I kind of messed up what I was going to show you here. Let's go ahead and close it, open it up again, and notice that there are no lines, no yellow or green lines here in this area between the line numbers and the roll-up region areas. And that indicates that this is a fresh file that has not been changed since the last time we've opened it up into the main area of the IDE, okay? All right, so this was a very small collection of information about the IDE. We could spend hours talking about all the little cool features that Visual Studio has tucked away, but you're gonna learn enough to be able to be competent with it by the end of the series. So just hang in there, you're doing great. See you in the next lesson. Thank you.